From Jakarta, here is Voice of Indonesia with Indonesia Today. News, information, and entertainment from Indonesia, only on Indonesia Today.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. President Prabowo Subianto believes that cooperation among Asian member countries, Gulf Cooperation Council countries, and China can significantly support the growth of the regional economy. Prabowo said that we must ensure that ASEAN remains relevant, and therefore we welcome a deeper partnerships. For instance, the ASEAN GCC and the ASEAN GCC China cooperation, we are confident that tomorrow will deliver tangible outcomes in this matter. Our economic growth is the fastest, he remarked at the plenary session of the 46th ASEAN Summit in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, on Monday, as quoted from the statement. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, through its representative in the United States, is preparing consular assistance for the 87 Indonesian students affected by the U.S. government's ban on Harvard University enrolling foreign students. The ministry is closely monitoring developments in the U.S. migration policies, including the ban on Harvard University admitting international students. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital mobile application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Music, dance, art performances from Indonesia and abroad, only on The Session. Every Saturday, 9:15 Jakarta time, only on Voice of Indonesia.
RRI Digital with New Look.
Programa en español.
RRI Digital, available on Google Store and App Store. RRI Digital.
samudra terbentang khatulistiwa. Di situ ku ada bersamamu saudara. Beragam warna kita, suku tak selalu sama. Kau aku Indonesia yang disatukan karena cinta. Karena kita Indonesia, jangan pernah terpecah belah. Walau kita berbeda, walau kita tak sama, tetaplah satu kita, kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Aku bahagia cinta. Damai jiwa tulus terasa nyata.
Kita kabarkan berita, membuka cakrawala. Semua bertaut udara di gelombang semesta. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia.
Gaya budaya alam khatulistiwa.
Kita kabarkan berita, membuka cakrawala. Semua bertaut udara di dalam bangsa. Sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya kita hadir bagi dunia. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya langit aspirasi bangsa. Kita Indonesia sesungguhnya.
Good afternoon, everyone, VOR listeners and viewers, and welcome to today's talk. I'm Yunika, and I'm really glad you're joining us today. For today's afternoon talk, we have a great conversation ahead with a special guest, of course, who brings a lot of experience and insights. So please sit back, relax, and get ready for an inspiring discussion.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOL listeners and viewers, Indonesia is not only the largest archipelago country in the world, it is also host to the richest marine biodiversity in the world. What about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability? Let's find out more on today's VOI talk with Bapak Hendra Yusron Siri as the expert staff of ecology and ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries on today's VOI talk. Good morning, Pak Hendra. How are you today?
Good morning, Bu. Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. Thank you so much for joining us on VOI talk. And as I told our listeners before, today we're talking about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability, especially after our ocean conferences that was hosted by Indonesia itself in 2018. Could you elaborate more about Indonesia's role?
Right. Thank you. First of all, thanks for Voice of Indonesia to invite me this important event and the Korbaya. I hope my voice is okay. Just get notification that I got unstable networking. Anyway, I like to continue that. So yes, it was in 2018 we host the Our ocean conference. It is like the first that it was in October, and ASEAN conference is like a kind of like register our commitment and so forth. So this is a kind of like how to show that all the stakeholders, just like government, non-government organizations or communities, community organization as well, to raise the commitment for the oceans. And I guess compared to the list and then listen from what has been done in Busan this month regarding the ocean conference, there are some commitment. It is already increased in numbers and also in terms of the amounts of the money for the commitment of the oceans. So I think for Indonesia, the roles after the ocean conference, we consist and then we commit to many kind of like measure for marine resources and also ocean governance. So I can give some, for example, for the MPA, for example, we have already commit for 30% by 2045. It will be like 97.5 million hectares in 2045. And so far we have already achieved that like to 29.9 million hectares. So it is still big, big job. And then we all have already shifting our, the way we fisheries, our managing our fisheries from input control to the output control. So this is a kind of like, our roles and after ocean conference. And then, and we also commit and to for the how mainstreaming the oceans into the climate change. But in fact, we are also part of the high ambition for the coalition, the high ambition coalition for ocean and climate dialogue. And we also active in kind of like, how to mainstream the roles of the ocean in the climate change. And so far, we have already, our ocean in our national determined contribution. This is really a good document. I hope with the sum, for example, this is to show that our role after the ocean conference. Actually, is the timeline is not only 2009, but it was before that. We also conduct like in 2009. The Coral Reef Triangle Summit, and already produced what we call this Coral Triangle Initiative for Coral Reef Fisheries and Food Security, and we established the Secretariat in Manado, Indonesia. I hope this is kind of like example the way how our effort to contribute significantly to the regional and global process of sustainable oceans. Thank you.
Yeah, so actually long way before 2018, Indonesia has played its significant role. And when it comes to the 10th Our Ocean Conference in Busan, South Korea, that was just held, one of commitments conveyed in the conference is that concerning sustainable marine management through the Blue Economy Program and then Marine Spatial Zoning Regulation. Can you explain us how's
is
going on?
Yeah, this is one of the commitment, one of six commitment that is already announced during the Our Ocean Conference. So this is our commitment how to make sure that all the activities in the oceans and the coastal areas, it will be planned in ahead. So mean that should be hand in hand together any kind of activities. So that's why this is important, the roles of marine spatial plannings. So we still have some tasks need to be done. That's why we announce our commitment to finalize that. And hopefully that it will be, all the Indonesian territory will be, has a good mapping and also good planning in terms of doing that. So yeah, this is our commitment for make sure that we will manage our ocean and coastal in a sustainable way, and also in with a good planning.
Okay, from blue economy, we move to a blue carbon. specifically Blue Carbon Network and Database, where Indonesia has been initiating this effort, strengthening collaboration and cooperation in international forums. So how's the collaboration and cooperation that is meant here?
Can you elaborate more? What do you mean by database? Do you mean that the database for secrets?
Yes, well, formulating a blue carbon management policies to guidelines for calculating its value.
Right. Let me see that first. I would like to explain about the blue carbon. Blue carbon is like, this is the terminology we use for the ecosystem that in coastal areas that contribute for, you know, to mitigate or mitigation action for the climate change, as well as for the adaptation. So the blue carbon ecosystem consists such as like mangrove, seagrass, meadow, tidal marsh, and some of that, you know, any kind like. Now there is ongoing discussions about the seaweed, for example. But this is kind of like the ecosystem that Indonesia contribute for the mangrove, for example, like 70% of the globally. This mangrove seagrass meadow will be 11%. We in Indonesia, especially for the mangrove, are things more advanced compared to the seagrass. So in mangrove, mangrove and seagrass, we follow the guideline from the IPCC guideline, which is they call the IPCC guideline supplement of IPCC guideline for mangrove and for coastal or wetland ecosystem. So again, the negotiation process or the terminology that we use in IPCC or the UNFCCC, the blue carbon. We use like coastal wetland ecosystem. So the ecosystem that have in wetland, so they can contribute, you know, to prevent the community from disasters and also contribute to reduce the gas emissions. But importantly, they are rich, they consist of the rich carbon, especially from the below ground or in the soil, like a mangrove or the seagrass, for example. So we have for the mangrove, we have like database. For the seagrass, we are developing right now. The mapping is also in the process. Hopefully, we'll be launching very soon. We have complete seagrass mapping in this year. Thank you.
Okay. And moving on to international efforts to ensure ocean health and wealth that were gaining momentum actually before COVID-19 hits. One of them is a Sustainable Development Goal or SDG 14 on life below water. But is it true there is setback to realize it? If it is, why and how's the solution?
I can say it's not setback, but we still have faced some challenges. There are some factors that contribute to some challenges. For example, that we still have overfishing or IUU fishing. So if you follow the our ministry website or our ministry social media, so I guess every week we catch the illegal fishing from neighboring countries. So this is a challenge, I think, and we still have like a marine pollution, for example. And of course, the habitat destructions. I cannot say this is not a setback, but the challenges we have to, you know, overcome, and then we need to, how to make sure that there will be, we can reduce these challenges. And of course, one of the big challenges, I guess, for the SDG is about the financing. So funding is really important. So that's why. If you compare that, our capacity for financing and compared to the required budget for, like, for example, for like conserving or managing resources, I think is we are far beyond that. So this we need, enhance the capacity, and also we need to make it awareness to all the stakeholder how to address a kind of life. I think
well, listeners, seems like we are facing some technical problem here with today's VOI talk, but we keep trying to continue our VOI talk with today's guest, Bapak Hendra Yusron Siri, expert staff of Ecology and Ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries. We're talking about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability. And while trying to reconnect with today's special guest on our VOI talk, what about enjoying a song? And then we'll be back shortly.
For still joining us on today's VOI talk, talking about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability with today's special guest, expert staff of Ecology and Ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries, Bapak Hendra Yusron Siri. Bapak Hendra, thank you for joining us. So sorry for the technical inconvenience. So previously, we confirmed that the Sustainable Development Goal, or SDG 14 on life below water, doesn't really face a setback, but a challenge instead. Yeah. And you also mentioned before about illegal fishing. And based on data that we have here from Indonesia's National Commission on Stock Assessments in 2017, showing that nearly half of the nation's wild fish stocks were overfished partly due to illegal, unregulated, and unreported fishing, leading to an estimated loss of $4 billion annually. So how's the progress of securing Indonesian ocean to prevent illegal, unregulated, and unreported, or IUU fishing nowadays?
I can respond this by having some examples. So I would like starting that ministry is really strongest, you know, commitment to reduce the IUP thing, because this is one of like that make our economies worse. And you see that we conduct not only from national, also regional and international wise. We in AU, we also, you know, report that. And then some country that catch in our water is already get the yellow card from the European Union. So I think we you know, we conduct our surveillance, you know, physical surveillance by our ships. So, you know, KKP, our ministry has surveillance vessel. And we just, last week in Natuna, the North Natuna seas, we already catch some illegal fishing. And we, you know, we have already prevent the loss of our economic point of view. I think it's more than like a billion, so for example, right now. And we strengthen our monitoring control and surveillance, MCS Indonesia. And in our ministry, we have the common centers, so we can track the vessel that catch in our territory. So this is important. We apply the regulation. All the ship above the 30 gross tonnage should be equipped by the vessel monitoring system. This is how we monitor the ship. It's not only for the government, but for the owner, this is a benefit, so they can track the vessel. So the VMS, we can track that. And if there is anomaly action, such as like they switch off the VMS, we can track them. And we can by machine learning or by our analysis, we can predict whether this is can be transshipment or can be like illegal fishing or enter in conservation areas. So we strengthen our monitoring system. In Indonesia, also in the ministry, we also host the secretariat, what we call this National Plan of Action Against IUU Fishing, Regional Plan of Action Promote Responsible Fishing Practice, including combating IUU fishing, RPOA-IUU, the secretariat in our DG of surveillance. And we also working together with like our neighboring countries through the mechanism what we call the CTICF, Coral Triangle Initiative for Coral Reef Fisheries and Food Security. And we have also, of course, in regulatory, we have already, you know, promote the what we call this fisheries-based quota management. This is like, we try to balance, you know, normally the area that, you know, contain resources cannot get the economic benefit. That's why we force, you know, the system should be, they have to be landed in the area that have resources. So give like economic, you know, economic trickle down effect to the area. So this is very important. And we conduct the international cooperation for such as like the countries, and then we have already apply what we call this port state measures. This is the FAO system, and we also promote the community involvement through POKWASMAS, Kelompok Pengawas Masyarakat. This is a community surveillance system, and of course we try to, you know, part of the against transnational criminal networks. And I guess IUU is already, you know, labeling as a transnational crime. So that's why we committed to reduce that. So I think I would like to highlight this into this. We don't want to go to the controversial vessel fishing policies right now. So because we try to, you know, if there are some illegal fishing, for example. So we try to maximize the vessel that we catch for education, for universities, for example, or for the communities that can be benefit more instead of to sinking, and then we'll be you know, not really good for the environment as well. Yeah. Back to you.
Okay. And now, back in February 2024, we're talking about a project identification mission mark the commencement of Indonesia Coral Bond Initiative, which focuses on national and provincial marine protected areas in Raja Ampat and Alor and also Savu Sea. Is the project still going? And what have been achieved through this program, Pak Hendra?
Yes, in fact, we are not starting yet. We are in the process for negotiating with the World Bank. So this is the first, let me, if you may allow that, let me share that my, you cannot see that my screen, right?
So, yes, we can see it.
Yeah, this is the way we do it, because protecting coral reef in Indonesia is projected like 37 billion economic benefit by. This is a study from the UNEP. So that's why Indonesia is launching the Indonesia Coral Bonds. So this innovative financing, this is the non-loan or non-debt instruments. And this is a non-sovereign bond. Means that we don't have any obligation to return back how to attract the fund for this bond. That's why we collaborate with the World Bank, IUCN, BNP Paribas, the banking, and also GF. In Indonesia, we work together with Bappenas, closely together with Bappenas, and also Indonesia Environmental Health Fund. So Indonesia Coral Bond, hopefully, actually, this is like 5 years, but as it's slightly, is still in the negotiation process. But again, they can be like outcome-based financing instrument that's linked with a specific target. And also will be issued by the World Bank, and the principle, because World Bank has the, in terms of the capital market, World Bank is a AAA balance. It means that a very reputable institution to issue the bonds, and this will provide funding to the marine protected areas, and there will be funding provided by investors and occupiers, and we're using the MPA IUCN Green List as one of the our examples. So, yeah, this is you mentioned about our target specific. There will be three MPA in Raja Ampat, because Raja Ampat consists of our national marine protected areas and also local protected area, and also and then signing the agreement very soon. We are on the last stage of the finalization of our agreement with the World Bank. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the detailed elaboration. I wish I could dig deeper, but now we move to another important issue, which is marine plastic debris, in which the government of Indonesia has committed to reducing 70% of Indonesia's marine plastic debris by 2025 and to become a plastic solution free by 2040. So how is it going on the achievement so far, and who are involved in this effort?
I think previously we the ministry part of what we call this National Plan of Action for reducing marine pollution, marine plastic to the sea, and now with the new structures of the government, so that will be coordinated by coordinating Ministry of Food Affairs, and we have already discussions and also regulation meeting. We coordinating meeting, for example, and we have target that. I think one of the big problem for the marine plastic or marine pollution is coming from the upstream. So we need to tackle the upstreams. How we reduce and how we recycle, and then how can we reuse that, and then also the important things is like how to make sure that we separate. Separation is the key step, the key important step to reduce and to minimize the the garbage. So because you can find all the thing in the and the seas. So the sea is not a big garbage bin, but we need to reduce that by having good practice and then good behavior. So separate which one is will be like the organic waste and also unorganic waste, and can be or unorganic waste will be like can be recycled, can be reused and usable, and also can be we can promote it. And we also promote what we call this circular economy to do that. In Indonesia, for example, ministry, we work together with the fishermen because one of our blue economy policy is how to minimize the plastic waste. So this is kind of like the activities that we go together with the fishermen, and we conduct what they call the seaman, one love seaman, so Valentine's allowed. So the idea is like we don't want to the numbers not increase, but we want to reduce that by having like since beginning. Now in our fishing port, we also apply each fishing vessel should be listed their plastic or contain plastic material before fishing, and then have to report back to the fishing port after the fishing. So if they are, plastic is not, will be traced back to the sea, there will be some punishment later on to the fishing vessel. So yes, so this is kind of like, how we, our strategy to reduce plastic for, especially from the activities that related to the marine and fisheries. Thank you.
Okay, hope this strategy is are running well so far and meet the target. Okay, Pak Hendra, final statement please that you would like to convey to our listeners, our Indonesian and international listeners about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability and how can people contribute to preserve global ocean sustainability.
Right. First, I would like to mention here, Indonesia is a big countries. We 1,504 islands, and we are the second largest, second longest, coastline in the world. And our marine resources contribute to regulated, the world climates. So this is how the importance of Indonesian marine and coastal. That's why Indonesia is like for mangrove, for example, we contribute almost 1/5 of our mangrove, and also seagrass, like 1/10 of our the contribution of to the, our seagrass. So this is to show that the importance of Indonesia coastal areas, especially and the for the future of like the ocean. So if we don't guard the oceans, the ocean will be, will be sacrificed, will be degraded. And if the ocean degraded, that means that the world will be degraded as well. So let's work together for guarding the oceans, because the ocean is like, the all the resources coming from the oceans. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pak Hendra Yusron Siri, Expert Staff of Ecology and Ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries. Let's keep going hand in hand to preserve global ocean sustainability. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Well, listeners, that's today's VOI talk on Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean and sustainability. Hope it gives you more insights and information about Indonesia's role and about global ocean sustainability itself. Joining us in another interesting and insightful talks on VOI Talk from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
And that wraps up our talk this afternoon on Afternoon Talk. To everyone who joined us, thank you for spending your afternoon with us. We hope you enjoyed this conversation and took away something valuable. And until next time, stay safe, stay curious, and stay inspired.
Voice of Indonesia.
Of passion in his eyes, uncovering the dreams he dreams at night. As much and hard as he tries to hide, I can see right through his voice. You know, for he says my name black. I fade away somehow if he's too loud. What I would give for me to get my feet back on the ground, head off the clouds. I laugh at how we're polar opposites. I read him like a book and he's a clueless little kid. Doesn't know that I'd stop time and space just to make him smile, make him smile. What we want, say what we feel. Oh, why can't you for once disregard the world and run to what you know is real? Take a chance with me, take a chance with me. Beyond me, how he'd look me dead in the eye, stay unaware that I'm hopelessly captivated by a boy who thinks love's overrated. How did I get myself in this arrangement? It baffles me too, baffles me too. Oh, why can't we for once say what we want, say what we feel? Oh, why can't you for once disregard the world and run to what you know is real? In the end, we only regret the chances we didn't take. Be your safety net, so why not raise the stakes? So I can hear your heart from across the room, pulsing through my veins. I know you need this too. Lie to me, oh you please. I can see right through, see right.
once you step foot on the enchanting island of Bali. You're welcomed by breathtaking landscapes, vibrant culture, and warm hospitality. To ensure you make the most of your Bali adventure, here's a story highlighting the essential of traveling in this tropical paradise. Embrace the local culture, meet the Balinese people with a warm smile, and respect their customs and traditions. Use your best attire, and if you're a woman with a period day, don't go to a temple or other sacred places. Explore the natural beauty. Bali is home to stunning landscapes. Do explore lush rice terraces, pristine beaches, and lush forests.